good desire for all believers. After all, it is only our reasonable service. What has he given for us but his best indeed? We're going to be looking at the testimony of a lady named Jochebed. Who is Jochebed? Moses' mother. You might want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapters 1 and 2. You might also want to have your Bible marked at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23, because we'll look there as well as we examine the testimony of God in the life of Jochebed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for all the folks you have recorded in your word and the testimony of faithfulness in their lives. We seek this year to gain much from these testimonies of godly people and how they were faithful to you and how they served you and how they learned to overcome immense obstacles in their lives to do so. Help us to learn from this woman's testimony how that when things seem impossible, you are able. I pray for your help in Jesus' name. The angel Gabriel said to Mary when he was talking to her, "With God, nothing shall be impossible." Well, have you ever said to yourself, "I can't do this"? Have you ever said that? Lots of us have said that. Circumstances in life at times can seem extremely overwhelming and even impossible. I thought about what it would be like if we had a Super World Series in baseball. That is, the winner of the men's baseball, whether it's the New York Yankees or the Boston Red Sox or somebody like that, would play against the winner of the Little League World Series. Do you think those Little Leaguers would have any chance at all? Do you think they would say, "Well, that's impossible"? That reminded me of another little cute story I heard years ago. I think I've used this here before. A man was walking by a little league ball field, and he's walking by the outfield, and this little tiny fella was standing out there with his hands on his knees waiting for a fly ball to come his way. And the man says to the boy, he says, "What's the score?" And the boy says, 23-0. And the man says, "Oh, who's winning?" He says, "They are." The man says, "Oh, that's too bad." The little boy said, "Oh, that's nothing. We haven't been up to bat yet." Do you ever feel like that? You're losing 23-0 and you haven't even been up to bat. It's just overwhelming. You know, this inning isn't ever going to end. It's impossible. God's people should be eternal optimists against insurmountable odds. Just like that little boy, didn't matter that the other team had 23. We're going to get our turn. You see, with God, all things are possible. With that, let me introduce you to this lady, Jochebed. Her name is a compound of two words, Yah, which is the first part of Jehovah, and Kabed, which means to honor. Jochebed, a life that honors the Lord. Honoring the Lord is her name. One who honors the Lord. She is the wife of a man named Amram. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 20 gives us her husband's name. Amram married his father's sister, it says. In other words, he married his aunt. At some point when the law was given, that will not be allowed anymore, but the law has not been given, and it was certainly acceptable. And she is also the mother of at least three children, whose names we know. Miriam, the oldest, Aaron, next, and Moses. As Jochebed lives her life, as she is born and raised, gets married, has children, and lives her life, Israel is in Egypt. Israel had gone to Egypt in the midst of a great drought. According to Exodus chapter 1 and verse 5, they went there 71 strong. But Israel grew in number greatly. So that in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, "And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. In over 300 years, the Israelites had grown in number from 71 people to consisting of more than the population of the Egyptians themselves. They are more and mightier than we." Now Moses was born 350 years after Israel entered into Egypt. Joseph, at the time of Moses' birth, had been dead for 279 years. And it tells us that in Egypt there raised up a generation that did not remember Joseph. 279 years ago from our day was 1733. How many people do we remember, even in positions of leadership, from 1733? Not very many. Joseph had been gone for a long time. Generations had come and gone. Israel had been enslaved and underwent great oppression. Exodus chapter 1 and verse 14 says, "And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor." The word rigor means cruelty and harshness and severity. It was not an easy life. The work was hard. The pressure was great. The persecution was intense. And this was the context of Jochebed's life. She had had a daughter, and then she had had a son, Miriam and Aaron. Aaron was 3 years older than Moses. Because there's no indication that there was any difficulty in her having Aaron and raising him, the scripture indicates to us from that it was sometime after Aaron's birth that the decree was made that all boy babies were to be put to death. Although Aaron could have been one of the children born during the first phase of the attempt to get rid of all boy babies among the Hebrews. The first attempt, beginning in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 15, going through verse 21, was to have the midwives kill all the baby boys as they were born. Of course, the midwives did not cooperate and claimed that the Hebrew women delivered their children before they could get there. And the opportunity for them to kill the babies was not there. And so Pharaoh makes this charge in verse 22 of chapter 1 in the book of Exodus. Exodus 1:22. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, "Every son that is born, ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." All boy babies, newborn infants, baby boys were to be cast into the river. Well, what would happen if you throw newborn infant boys into the river? They're going to drown. They're going to die. Jochebed finds herself with child in the midst of this set of circumstances. Hard labor, a coarse, rough life, enslavement, pressure from the government to produce a certain amount of construction material. And now this charge from the Pharaoh himself, all boy babies must be cast into the river and die. In the midst of this, Jochebed is a Jewish woman whose life is dedicated to honoring the Lord. How many Jewish women actually cast their boy babies into the river so that they would die? I suspect there were many. We're never given that information. But Jochebed was determined she would not comply, especially when her child was born and she saw the child. Exodus chapter 2, verse 2. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months. She saw that he was a goodly child. Well, you say, that's rather typical for mothers, isn't it? Did any mother ever have an ugly baby? I think so, but I've seen some ugly babies, but I would never probably tell you that to your face. I don't know. The word goodly has several nuances to it. That means agreeable to the senses. In other words, this was a beautiful child. Beautiful to look upon. But it also means excellent in kind or better in comparison. There was something remarkable about this baby. If you would glance in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23, it makes reference to this. And there it uses the word proper, where it says that Moses' parents saw that he was a proper child. Hebrews 11, 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months, and his parents, because they saw he was a proper child. The word proper there means polished, or mannered, or eloquent. How is a newborn infant eloquent, or mannered, or polished? This apparently was a good baby. Have you ever, any of you ever had really good babies? I mean, you bring them home from the hospital and they sleep through the night. Right off. And they don't cry, they whimper. And they coo quietly. And they show intelligence right from the start. This was Moses. Then Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23 tells us something else. Should have stayed there. It says, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. That's interesting. Egyptian officials, no doubt, sent out patrols searching the Jewish homes for newborn baby boys. I mean, do you think Pharaoh is going to make a commandment and say all newborn baby boys have to be cast into the river and he's not going to check up on the people? Of course he is. Do you think there's a possibility there might have been some jealous Jewish women who themselves had cast their babies into the river who would report on other Jewish women who did not? She couldn't just have this baby and take care of it in the normal process. And so it tells us in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 2 that she hid the child for 3 months. Well, you know, little children sleep a lot in the daytime. Mostly. They get you up at night. But babies sleep a lot. They're not that active. And if you keep close attention to them and make sure they're fed and they're dry, you can minimize their crying. Little tiny infants would be relatively easy to hide. But by the time a child reaches the age of 3 months, he becomes a little more awake, a little more active, and a little more vocal. She hid him for 3 months, and then it came to a point where it was clear she would not be able to hide him very long, much longer. And so the Lord gave to Jochebed a very interesting wisdom to comply with the commandment of Pharaoh and at the same time preserve her child's life. What was the command of Pharaoh? Exodus chapter 1 and verse 22. Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river. What did Jochebed do with her son Moses? Did she put him in the river? She sure did. She put him in the river. But before she put him in the river, she devised a little vessel. She waterproofed a basket, put her son in the basket, and then put her son in the river inside of that basket. And then she was very careful about the place where she put that basket, because it became known that at a particular place along the Nile River, the daughter of Pharaoh was given to come and bathe. She put this basket in this specific place so that it would be seen. And then she had her daughter, Miriam, stand in a secluded spot and watch. How did Jochebed figure this out? It's a pretty ingenious plan, isn't it? Obey the Pharaoh's command and at the same time preserve your son's life. Remember, her name is One Who Honors the Lord. And I don't think it's any coincidence. In fact, I think it's a suggestion from Scripture that if your life will honor the Lord, he will give you wisdom to deal with extremely difficult circumstances. How many times have Christians been defeated by the difficulties of life because we fear the enemy or the circumstance more than we have confidence in God? What did Hebrews 11:23 say regarding Jochebed? She did not fear the commandment of Pharaoh. She was not afraid of the commandment of the king. She was not afraid of what man could do to her because she knew what God could do for her. Her life was dedicated to honor the Lord. And in honoring the Lord, he gave her wisdom, and she was confident that he would do so. He gave her wisdom to deal with what otherwise seemed impossible. We must have that same kind of approach in our lives. Do not fear the circumstances of life more than you have confidence in God. Whatever happened to Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Is that true? Is it always true? Is it true in all things? It says so. She understood that concept and trusted God as she honored him. Hebrews 11:23 tells us that Jochebed acted by faith. By faith, Moses' parents hid him. She hid Moses by faith. She trusted in God as she placed Moses in that waterproofed basket. She trusted God as she placed that basket in the water in the midst of the bulrushes. She trusted God to wait for Pharaoh's daughter to find the basket. And she trusted God that Pharaoh's daughter would be sensitive enough as a young woman to preserve the life of a weeping child. And it worked. Jochebed believed according to Hebrews 11:6. She knew that God is, and Hebrews 11:6 says, not only does faith include believing that God is, but it includes what else? Believing that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. She believed that God would reward her for diligently seeking him in her life. And that's exactly what she did. She believed according to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13 that even though the promises were afar off, they were real. And she was persuaded of them, and she embraced them. And Jochebed obtained a good report, as it tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 39. She obtained a good report through faith. This is her testimony against impossible odds. She refused to be afraid of what man could do to her. Acting in faith, she honored God in her life at great potential cost, and God rewarded her. Along comes Pharaoh's daughter, verse 5. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. What woman can resist caring for a weeping child? The baby cried, and Pharaoh's daughter's heart was touched. She had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Next thing she knows, this little girl was standing right next to her. It's Miriam, Moses' older sister. In verse 7, then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, where'd this girl come from? What a coincidence. I find a little Hebrew baby boy, and this Hebrew girl just happens by. Would you like me to find a Hebrew woman to take care of the child? That would be fine, says Pharaoh's daughter. And Miriam goes, gets her mother. She fulfilled Pharaoh's commandment and cast her son into the river. And by the divine direction of God, she is then ordered by Pharaoh's daughter to take care of her own son. It's true. She eventually has to give him up when he's weaned and let him go live in a palace. A palace where ungodliness was the rule of the day. A palace where idols were worshipped and immoral things were done and ungodly things were taught. But if she could trust God to save her child's life from death, she could trust God to save his mind and heart from error. And while Moses grew up in the house of Pharaoh and was educated in all the ways of the Egyptians, he never forgot he was a Jew. There came a time in his life when he attempted to take matters into his own hand. It failed miserably. He went out into the wilderness thinking it was all over, only to find that was exactly what God wanted, to isolate him into a place where God could work in his heart and prepare him to be the prophet that would deliver the entire nation, all because his mother, against impossible odds, trusted that God could do anything. Back during the Civil War, there was an incident that happened in the Navy of the Northern Union. They wanted to take the Charleston Harbor. This was called the First Battle of Charleston Harbor. It was an engagement near Charleston, South Carolina, that took place April 7, 1863, during the American Civil War. The striking force was a fleet of 9 ironclad warships of the Union Navy. They took battleships, put iron plates all along the sides, made them almost impenetrable. The ships under command of Rear Admiral Samuel Francis DuPont attacked the Confederate defenses against the entrance to Charleston Harbor. Navy Department officials in Washington hoped for a stunning success that would validate a new form of warfare with armored warships mounting heavy guns, reducing traditional forts. After a long preparation, conditions of tide and visibility allowed the attack to proceed. The slow ironclads got into position rather late in the afternoon, and when the tide turned, DuPont had to suspend the operation. Firing had occupied less than 2 hours, and the ships had been unable to penetrate even the first line of harbor defense. The fleet retired with one in a sinking condition and most of the others damaged. After consulting with his captains, DuPont concluded that his fleet had little chance to succeed. He therefore declined to renew the battle the next morning. "We can't do it," he said. "It's impossible." Staunch old Admiral David Glasgow Farragut said to DuPont, "Do you know why you didn't get into Charleston with your ironclads?" "Oh," DuPont said, "it was because the channel was so crooked." "No, DuPont, it was not that." "Well, the rebel fire was perfectly horrible." "Yes, but it wasn't that." "What was it then?" DuPont asked. And Admiral Farragut responded, "It was because you didn't believe you could get in." How many times we face defeat in life because we simply don't believe God can help us. We give up. It's too hard. It's impossible. I can't do it. It's overwhelming. The circumstances are overbearing. It's just not possible. But wait a minute. Philippians 4:13 is still in the Bible. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Jesus makes it very clear, with men this is impossible, but with God nothing is impossible. We should never give up. No matter how impossible a situation may seem, if we determine that our lives will honor the Lord no matter what, He will give us the wisdom, the grace, the strength, the means to do what needs to be done. Trust Him. Just trust Him. Jochebed did. And there was a wonderful reward in her life because of it. You can too, if you trust Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the challenge to our hearts this day. Lord, I pray that at this moment, if there's anyone here in this room that is facing what seems to him or her an impossible task, overwhelming circumstances, something that just seems like it can't be done, help them to determine in their hearts in this moment that they will honor You and they will trust You. And they will believe that You are a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Help them to trust You, to see You do the impossible in their lives. I pray for Your help in Jesus' name. Amen.